They do it because they love the Lord.
I'll tell you one of these things. One of these days, we're going home. Right now, it's just something that we're looking forward to. But one of these days, it's going to be a reality. It's going to be a reality that we're going to be that home with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I thank the Lord for that. Me and my wife was talking on the way this evening, and she was saying something about, I forgot what it was all about, whose church, what it was, but said that heard the church, one church that was way off this morning. It was because of the rain. I said, but one thing about I can see, we won't. We had 100% here, and we was here because we was not sprinkled. We was baptized. Oh, me, a whole lot of people.
We're not afraid to be baptized, don't we?
Huh?
We're not afraid of baptism.
No, I'm not. No, but I tell you, it's good to be a Christian.
Amen.
And it's good to serve the Lord, that we can serve Him in the way that where He can be pleased with us. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to worry about in disappointing Him that why I won't come to church, because I think He's really heartbroken today, and He's heartbroken because of the people, and the people that used to be in church, but now they done got to the self now. They say, well, they don't need church. They just don't need it. Well, I can't say that. I can say this. I need to be here all the time. I need to have the fellowship with the Christians at all times. And I'm so thankful for you that's faithful in coming out. If you will, tonight, I want to... Brother Bill, this morning, he was doing some teaching. He was teaching at the book of Luke. Well, there's one phrase there that I seen there this morning that I want to just focus in on tonight for a little bit. And it is in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And he said, in verse 4, it says, and when they came to Jesus, they besought Him instantly, saying that He was worthy for whom He should do this. Excuse me, I'm going to start right there, angle. I forgot to do something. We need to go to prayer. We need to have the prayer requests, and I know that some of you have some, and we don't never need to go to start preaching or anything else until we go to the Lord in prayer and anything, sickness and for health and for salvation for the others. But anybody here tonight has a special request on their heart.
She was there, but she had to leave early. She wasn't feeling well, so pray for her.
Okay.
She has two rods in her back, so it's there. There's something going on there. But anyway, just pray for her.
All right. Anyone else?
Pray for my
Anyone else? Just let's remember one another. Let's remember all the churches. And all the pastors today and preachers that is preaching his word. And we need to remember the ones that used to preach it, but now they done, they just done got away from it. And they just preaching this or that and everything else. And the Lord's not pleased with that. I just pray that they'll get back to preaching God's word. And two, we need to pray for all our missionaries that's here in the States, the ones that's traveling tonight. We need to pray that for the ones that's all overseas, what they're doing, they're out here doing something that we can't do. We can't do their job because God called them to do it. And they are in places where that we would not go. Now the young man that was here earlier, that he said that it was Van Moore, it was a preacher at Faith Baptist Church. And so I called Brother Van and I told him that there's a missionary here that I think he's supposed to be at your church. And I says, now he's coming, but he may be up a few minutes late. But he's coming. But and his name was Brother Sutherland. And where he's going to South Africa. South Africa. I don't know if you know it or not, but over in South Africa, that's where they are really having all types of problems. Fighting and everything else, in which I know that we're not immune of it. And other countries, they not. But we need to pray for them as they go into harm's way. We need to remember the men and women that fighting for the freedom, not for just the United States of America, but for the other countries out here. They're just not fighting for us. They're fighting for all the nations. And they're fighting for freedom and liberty. So we need to remember them. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can come to the throne of grace tonight. And Lord, as we bring these petitions and make them known unto thee tonight, Father, we know, Lord, there's nothing that I said or nothing, Father, that I meant to say that I did not say that you do not know anything about. But Lord, you still want us to come with the request and just ask you, Lord, to do what you need to do in each and every individual's heart tonight. And Father, we pray for each one of them. All the requests that was made known tonight, Lord, we pray, Father, that you'll put your hands upon them. And Lord Jesus, we pray for Faith Baptist Church. And Father, we pray, God, for the individuals that used to come. And Father, now they're not going anywhere. Lord, I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit of God will go knocking on their door tonight. And just letting them know that, yes, that they made that profession, but they do not have the possession. They do not have that personal, intimate relationship with you, Father. And Lord, as the Holy Spirit speaks to them, we pray, oh God, that they may just bow their knees right there or where they're right at tonight. Father, that they're driving, we pray that, Lord, that they may pull over to the side. And Father, that they can get alone with you And Father, and ask for thy help and thy mercy and thy grace. And Father, we pray for the upcoming Jubilee. Father, we pray for each one of the pastors that's coming. We pray for all the preachers. And we pray, Father, for all the other individuals that's going to come, Father. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that something will be said or done will just bring us all closer to you. And yes, Father, if there's one's lost within our midst, we pray, Father, today that Almighty God, that they will just come and they will just bow unto thee and ask for forgiveness. And yes, Lord, and just repent of the sin and trust in you. We thank you for all the good things that you're going to do for us. And we thank you, Father, for your healing touch upon each one of our lives today. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen. Now, it's going back up here. I'm going to start at verse 1. I started at verse 4, but I'm going to read down from verse 1 down to verse 6. But it says, now, in verse 1 in chapter 7 of the book of Luke, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, troublest not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Father, we thank you for the reading of thy word. And Father, we ask, Lord, for that fresh anointing from on high, God. And Father, for what you have given me this morning and this afternoon, Lord Jesus, we pray, Father, that we can bring it out. The Father, the way that you want the message brought. And Father, the way it will touch hearts and touch lives. And Father, we can all say, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. There's one phrase there that I want us to look at tonight. And I saw that this morning when Brother Bill was teaching. And when he was reading the scripture and everything and what he said there. But it's in verse 5. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. For he loveth our nation. The Lord Jesus Christ, he loves the nation. He loves America today and all its failures that has come about, and of all what the people are acting on today. He still loves this country, because he knows what this country was founded on. But before this country was founded, we have there
the country of England. In the country of England, they at one time, they used to could go out and they used to could preach God's word. But they got to the point that they couldn't do it anymore because they was having the Christians and they was having all them killed at that time. We don't hear much anything about that, but that's the truth. We can go back in history. We can go back, but we have to go back farther than what our history will carry us to. But we had some men there that was in England that loved the Lord so much that they was willing to give up their country. They was willing to leave their country to come to a land where nothing was on it, where it was no morals or no nothing. But they come to this place that we call our nation under God. And it's under God that we can call it our nation. I know a whole lot of people today don't recognize God in this country. But it's sad to say. It's really sad to say that anymore. Because there are so many people today is trying their very best, and we would be surprised at some of the people that is trying to do everything they can to continue on with us in the way that we're going. And that is our nation in the way that our nation is going. You know, I heard something this week and I hadn't really thought about it. But I know that all the politicians that's running, I don't understand why in the world that they have to get up there and call the individuals that they're running against, calling them names, calling them liars, and calling them this and that, and then start attacking their wives. Their wives are not running for office. That should not be, but it is. We had one that at one time that I was thinking very seriously about voting for. But for here for the last couple months, and some of the things that he's said, and some of the things that he wants to do, and he's not apologizing for any of it. He hasn't, for the first time, come about and apologized for it. But I heard something this week that another... He used to be a politician. He used to be the Speaker of the House. But he come out and he said, and he called the individual by name. And he said this, that he is Lucifer in the flesh. Now, that's sad to say that where we can look at people and we can see how the way people are acting, that we sometimes will come back with things like that and say that about somebody. You know, that's a tough saying. But I can really understand where he's coming from because of the so many things that is being said and some of the things that's been going on. But why do we have to get that low? Do we want to want them to be president to where they gotta go ahead and run for office and be so low? No. Somebody asked me here a while back,
about running for the city council of Danville. I said, I don't want it. I don't want it. They says, why? Says, don't you love your city? I said, yeah, I love my city. I said, but one reason that I don't want it is because I'll have to go back to school and learn how to lie. To get anything passed, to get anything done today, you have got to lie your way out of things. That's not right. That is not what this country was founded on. People today, they wonder why we have this and we have them running for this and that. You know what the reason why? Because a Christian is set back so long with a voice of nothing. They will not speak up. They will not speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not speak up for the nation. They will not speak up for what this country was founded on. They will not speak up. Somebody said one time, said, what can I do? What can I do? I'm just one person. Somebody else come back and they told them, says, what you can do? You may be the one person. You can be like the Lord Jesus Christ. He was one individual that was hanging on that cross that day. But while he was hanging there, we didn't see no one else hanging there. But he had our best interest at hand. He had our lives in his hands. It always has to start with one individual. Always has to start with one individual. And it says right here, it said, for he loveth our nation. He does love our nation. How do I know that he loves us, loves our nation? It's because he died for this country. He died for every living human being. He just did not die for me and you and a few others. Like a whole lot of preachers I hear talking about today. No. That's not the same Lord and Savior that I serve, that they serve. I serve a risen Savior. I serve one that wants to see people to have the joy in their heart. I wish some way that was possible. If it was some way possible that I could go around and just speak to people and have a little smile on my face and just tell them, I love you. And the Lord loves you. And then they would come and know the Lord, to where they can experience the same joy, the same happiness, the same peace that I feel. That joy and the happiness and the peace that I feel is not the same as the same thing as this body is feeling as far as the human nature. But spiritually speaking, I am the happiest individual that I've ever been in my life. Why? Because I know whose side I'm on. I know who I'm speaking about. I know
in whom I'm speaking about. And when I speak about Him, it's because I love Him. And I cherish Him. Why? Because He's my Savior. He's my friend. He's my brother. He's dear to me. He's my dearly brother. He is so dear to me that I don't want to do anything at all to hurt His feelings. But I know that there's sometimes I do hurt His feelings. And sometimes He will shed them tears because I've done something that hurt His feelings. But I am so thankful that He has somebody else there. And He gave me that individual unto me that day that I could have Him and He would be with me. And He just didn't come in and leave me right then. No, when the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, now, when He told Peter, He said, Peter, He says, I'm going to leave you for a little while. He left him for a little while. But he did not forget about him. Just like when he came, when he saved us, when he touched our hearts. And when he saved us, and he says, come on in, child. And then the Father wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is when he said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will always be with you. That is the third body of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to leave you a comforter. I'm going to leave somebody that cares about you. And that somebody is somebody that cares just as much about you as I do. I'm going to leave him with you. He's going to teach you. He's going to protect you. And all the sorrow that comes your way, he's going to fill it with your joy and with peace. For he loveth our nation. For he loveth our neighbor. He loveth our friends. He loveth our co-workers. He loveth people. Because if he didn't love people, it would have been no use for him to go to Calvary. It was no use for him to go to Calvary. Because that's what Jesus, that's what the name Jesus really means. It means, and it gives like the definition there, of pure love. And I said, you know, I said this morning, sometimes we'll have preachers and sometimes we'll preach about love and everything. But we never preach about hell. But we got to take both of them. We got to intertwine both of them. Yes, we need more preaching on hell. But we also need to encourage the Christian. Encourage the flock that yes, you're saved. Yes, you can do this and you can do that. Because many of us say that we can't do nothing. Many of us say that I can't do that. I can't do that. I did not ever think that as far as myself going, would ever believe that I would ever stand here and I would sing. I try. It may not be a blessing unto your ears, but I'm not singing to your ears. I'm singing for Him. And Him only do I sing for. And that's a joy. And it's unspeakable. And it's full of all of His glory. There's some other individuals here that did not even think that they could do the things that they've done and they're doing now. I know Brother Bill, he said something. He says, man, it's been so long since I've stood and I've taught. So long. And that was just one time. I think he's done a fantastic job. At least he's standing there doing something. He's not just sitting back and waiting for someone else. If we all sit back and say, I can't, we'd all be sitting back and just waiting for somebody else to come in and to do and to try what He's asked us to do. Now I understand too that there's a lady here that has never hadn't got up here and sung by themselves. Now, Sister Betty, we can do it as long as we got our mind and everything that we have focused on Him and no one else. Because of what? Because of His love toward us. I forgot who it was that told me that said that Sister Nancy had never sung by herself. I don't know. Sister Nancy and y'all, and you the sing. Y'all got pretty voices. What kept us from doing the things before? Because it was pressured. In doing it. We was pressured in doing this and that. But if we're not pressured by the peers of the people that see us each and every week, and the Lord Jesus Christ, He says, you can do it. You can do it. I have enough trust in you. I have enough faith in you. This faith is a two-way street. He had enough faith in me to where He would save my soul. He had enough faith in me that I would follow Him and I would do what He'd asked me to do. Sometimes the faith that He put in me, my faith wasn't as strong as His. My faith would never be as strong as His faith. Because He was doing it for who? His Father. You'll never find nowhere in the Word of God where Jesus is speaking and where he is talking to someone else, and he would say, Father, now my will be done.
No.
He always recognized the Father. In thy will. How do we know when we have the will of God on our life? We will know it. If you have it, you will know it. You will know it to the fact in the life that you serve. You will do it in the testimony that you have for the Lord. You can do it. I can do it. But without the testimony that we have, without the blessings that He has granted each one of us, The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, He will teach me. He will inspire me. I don't need to go to no seminary. I don't need to go to no college and listen to a professor to inspire me to serve the Lord. I don't need them. What inspires me to serve the Lord is right here in this book. In this book, what it's all about. Brother Bill and went to, Sister Holly, his daughter. They went to Liberty this past Monday. Because his daughter wants to go to school up there. And where she can further her career and everything. But I like one thing that Brother Bill said. And when they went up and they was talking and going up there. And they come to find out that this building that they was going to was a brand new building. And it was the School of Divinity. There's no other college. No other university that is in the United States or that is in the world that offers that. None whatsoever. And Brother Bill asked his daughter, says, I hope you ain't aiming to do any preaching. Which I know a whole lot of people would think that if they go into school at a divinity school, that's what they're going there for. No, what she wants to do, she wants to learn more about the Bible. Right, Bill? Now, how many young people that you know of that is willing to say the reason they want to go back to school is to learn more about God's Word? There's not many. You know, Dr. Sutler, from down at Greenville, South Carolina. He had a doctor's degree. He had a doctor's of divinity degree. But you know how he got it? You know how he got it? He got it from a school that where he took it at home. He could take the test at home. What that test is all about is it's basically the test of your walk with the Lord and in what you have been doing. It's a life-giving test. But that's what's all about. Dr. Falwell, Jerry Falwell, that's what he had. All these others I hear that has doctor in front of their name has it also. That's how they ended up with them. Because they took it at home. And they took the test of knowledge. They took the test in serving the Lord. That's what it was all about. But I think, what's that preacher? That preacher's name? He was a Presbyterian preacher. He's dead now. Kennedy. What's his first name? Done in, I think it was in Florida. Huh?
One had that big glass.
No. His last name is Kennedy. But he had a doctor's degree. But you know what that doctor's degree done for them? It inspired them to dig in God's word. It inspired them to look at the scripture and say, this right here is what it's saying. It inspired them to get a little deeper in God's word. But yet, when they would stand before their congregation and when they would preach a simple message. Preach a simple message. Like Harold Smith, Smith. He's with the Southern Baptist, but I mean, he's straight along as they come. He was at one of our conferences one year and he spoke there. And a dear preacher friend of mine at that time, which now he's dead and he's gone on to be with the Lord. He's there in heavens and he's singing. I know he is because he loved to sing. He could play that piano, what you talking about. He could make that piano. I mean, as long as he had his fingers on them keys, it would talk. Even when he took his fingers off of the keys and he had them over here and the keys was over there, still talking. That's how good he was. But he was doing it for the Lord. He said he went to the same Southern Baptist conference that they had. And it was in New Orleans. And they had it in the Coliseum. Or the Saints basketball arena, whatever it was called. But he said that week when he was down there, he said the reason he even went, because he had never been to New Orleans. And he wanted to go and see what all the fuss was about. And he went. And he said, preacher, he said, I'm going to tell you. When Dr. Smith, when he got up there and preached, he preached during the book of John, chapter 3, And the title of his message was this: Ye Must Be Born Again. Brother Buddy said that he said that at least 6 or 7 times before he really got into the message. But he said he brought it out in a way when nobody else could bring it out. And he says, I've preached on the same subject myself. I've done some extensive study on it. But I could not bring it out that way. But he did. And he said while he was preaching, he says, I can say this. He said, because I'm a pastor of a Southern Baptist church. There was one time in life as being a Christian and in a Southern Baptist church that I could see people that would leave their pews and come to an old-fashioned altar while the preacher was still preaching. But you don't see that anymore. I said, you don't even see that hardly in the independent churches anymore. He said, but when he finally got through, he said they had a choir there. He says, if it won't 700 people, it won't 2 in the choir. He says, that a choir up there, and every seat was filled. Some of them standing behind the last row of seats. And they were standing. And he says, even the arena out there was completely packed out. He says, that's one thing I can honestly say. He said, we had some people there that has never even been to one of them. He said, but the Lord knew that there had to be that this one. He said, Dr. Smith preached one of the greatest messages on ye must be born again that he had ever heard in his life. And he said, when he gave the invitation, he said, people from the choir and in the back, they started coming out and coming down to the front of the church, front of the pulpit area. They was kneeling there. Some of them was bawling. Some had them great big old crocodile tears, he said. And he said that the people that was in the congregation, he said, there were so many people there that come to the altar. He says, literally, you had to stand back and bow behind 4 or 5 others pray. And he said this. He says at the end of it, he said right many of them raised a hand. That they had just accepted the Lord as a Savior that night. Brother Buddy, he thought it was about over. Brother Smith, he gave out one other call. He says, is there anybody else? Anybody else that needs to say something? He said, over in the far corner, he said, only thing I could see was the top of his head, because he was a kind of a tall man. And Brother Smith says, okay, what do you want to say? He says, first of all, I want to tell you that I just got saved tonight. And he started bawling. And he started up his steps and he said, Brother Smith, what I've got to say, I've got some people here from my own church. I need for them to hear it. He says, if you don't mind if I come up there. He said, no. He says, you come on. Brother Buddy said he walked up the steps, walked across the platform to where the mic was. And Brother Smith, he'd backed up a little bit. He didn't sit down, but he backed up behind him. And that preacher that was standing in front of him, he was a preacher. He was a pastor of a church. Said he just got saved that night at that meeting. That you must be born again. He said, I had to be born again. And I've preached the message. He says, I've preached so many messages. But none of them touched my heart. None of them touched my soul until the message that was tonight. And he said, Brother Smith, I want to thank the Lord for you for being here tonight and preaching that message. Brother Smith stepped back up and put his arm around him. He said, Brother, he said, I wasn't supposed to preach. I was called at the last minute. The individual that was going to preach came down sick. He couldn't even come this week and be here this week. So then they called me and they asked me, would I come and would I preach the last night there? He said, yes. Totally individual. He said, yes, I'll come. He said, the only thing I want you to do is, he said, I want you to pray for me. He said, because right now, I didn't have no idea that I was going to even be speaking. I wasn't even going to have a talk there. I was just going to come and just be part of the worship service. Brother Smith, I'll write down the phone. Before he hung up, he prayed with him. And he said this to Brother Smith. The Lord said this to him. He says, I can hear it just like I can hear my own wife's voice. Or if you were standing here before me tonight, just like me hearing your voice speak. He said, Brother Smith said, Lord, this was a complete surprise for Brother Smith tonight. And Lord, we don't know what kind of sickness that the other man has. Or he called him by name. I can't remember what it is, but he said, I just want you to be with him and his family tonight. Well, right now, until it comes up to when Brother Smith is supposed to stand before the congregation, before the people, I'm praying that God the Father's will be done in your life. That you would give Him the right of way. That you would give Him that fresh anointing to touch Him. Brother Smith said, he said, you know, I really needed that. And I could feel a tug. I could feel something just tugging at me. I could feel something leading me to a certain scripture. And it's scripture that he read and he come back with. For he loveth our nation. Speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. For he loveth our nation. And he said, from that point on, the Lord led him over to the book of John, chapter 3. You must be born again. He drilled that night. Brother Buddy said that he drilled it that night in the people where when they left and when they was going down the highway, that they could not get that out of their mind. They couldn't get it out of their mind. But then Brother Buddy told me, he says, I just talked to that pastor of the church. I think it was Tennessee or somewhere down, I'd say, west. Or down south. And he says, I called him and I just tried to encourage him a little bit since he just got saved. And he said this. The individual said this back to Buddy. He said, when I got back to church Sunday morning, I arrived at my house late Saturday night. When I got to church Sunday morning, I did not preach. He told the people, he told the congregation what had happened. And he says, you know, that night, I got saved. I met the Master. I met the one that really, truly loved me. I know I've preached about it and everything, but I really met Him. I come hand in hand with Him. I come face to face with Him. I come face to face with heaven and with hell. And I had my choice. It was my choice that He said that you have. So He stood there. And He asked one of the deacons to come up. And he come up and he handed the deacon a letter. And he says, I want you to read this to the congregation. He said, because really, he said, I don't think I could read it. He said, but I want you to. He said, due to the fact that I was an unchristian at the time, I resign as a pastor of this church, effective immediately, right now. Brother Buddy said that he went on and said the individual read the letter and told how many years that he said he'd been pastoring there. And said his church has went through a growth after growth since he'd been there. But he resigned. He resigned his position. The reason he resigned his position, because he was not called of God at that time. He was called of Satan to do Satan's work. So he resigned. By halfway going to the back of the church, he just somebody stood up and said, Preacher, I got something I want to say. All right. He says, please don't leave us. It was a little boy. Less than 15 years old. He said, don't leave me. I love you. I don't want you to leave. He said, I want you to still be my pastor. And then it was one elderly man that was feeble. He walked with a cane sometimes, and sometimes he'd come to the church and he'd walk in with a walker. He was sitting on the outside of the pew, had his walker there, and he stood up. Had his hand on his walker, and there was just a trembling. Brother Buddy said, he says, as his hands was a trembling, he said, Preacher, I know the reason that you resigned. And I understand the reason you done it is because you said that you was not saved then. That you just got saved this past week. He said, but I want to let you know something right now. As much as this church has been through, with all the addition and with all the people that's coming in, well, we've had to build on to the church. We've had a large thing. And people coming and getting saved. He says, you can't leave now. I mean, just think. Imagine what the Lord would do now. Knowing that you are Christian. Knowing that you are His. He says, Just think about it. At home, we'll be praying for you real hard. Brother Buddy said that. He said, when he got off his phone, he said the tears in his eyes had just started flowing. He said, you don't hear that much anymore. Where people would just come out and say, yes, I've been a charter member of the church so long. I've been coming to God's house and I thought I was saved. But I come to find out today that I wasn't saved. He said, you don't hear that much anymore. And you don't. The last time I heard anything about it was from an 82-year-old woman there in Isla Vista, Virginia. She'd been a charter member of the church since 1953. She thought she was saved. But she wasn't. She says she was saved then at night when she accepted the Lord. You know, it's a good thing to know that the Lord knows our very intent. He knows our very need. He knows more about us than we know ourselves. He wants the very best for His children. He wants the very best that He has to offer each one of us. He wants us to have the same thing. See, because He says there, I believe it's in the book of John somewhere where He says that He's talking about the inheritance. The inheritance that He has, that the Father had passed down to His Son. Now His Son has passed it down to us. We have the same inheritance as His Son has. We have the same inheritance that God the Father has. We are supposed to be the good stewards. We're supposed to be the ambassadors for the Lord. But you know, I don't know why today the Lord hadn't changed. He hadn't changed one bit. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He never changes. He's always there. But are we always there when the people need us? When we need the Lord, He's always there. But when the people needs us, are we there? Can they count on us? Can they? My prayer is that I hope they can. That's my prayer. That I hope that the people that knows that Faith Baptist Church is here, and they ain't darkened the door in so long, they need to know that we care for them like Jesus cared for them. Like Jesus cared for me. Our Father, we want to thank You. And Lord, I pray, God, tonight, that You will just be with each one of us as we go our own ways tonight. Give each one of us a good night's rest. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, for everyone that has the doctor's appointments this week. Father, Lord, that You will intervene on our behalf. And Father, we do thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. Thank You, Lord, for saving us. Thank You for the Holy Spirit that lives within me. Thank You for the Father that lives within me also. And I thank You, Lord Jesus, that where You are at, You are right there with me. Each and every step of the way. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, for the families that's lost loved ones this past week. We know not their names at this time. But Lord, we don't need to know the little small things. We don't even need to know the big things. The only thing we need to know is that we need to bring it to You. Father, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, for the message tonight. Thank You for Your touch upon me. And thank You for these individuals that are some of Your choice servants on this side of eternity. Be with them, lead, guide, and direct them.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.